You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. On one of the beautiful Orkney Islands off the northern coast of Scotland, there's a place called Maes Howe, which is an ancient burial site dating back 3,000 years. It's a dome structure of stones built about 24 feet high and with a long, narrow entrance that's 36 feet long but only 4 feet high. Apparently, once you've stooped through the entrance, you arrive in a spacious room where bones were originally kept and where more recent visitors, like the Vikings, scrawled graffiti with very profound sayings like this on the walls: "We broke into this how," or stuff like, "Ingerith is the most beautiful of women." I thought that was funny. Anyways, for 364 days of the year, the tomb remains dark, unlit by natural light. But on the shortest day of the year, about this time of the year, however, when the sun reaches its lowest point on the horizon, rays of light reach through the tunnel and illuminate the deathly darkness. This picture of light breaking into darkness on exactly and only the darkest day of the year is a vivid one for me. It is one that captures well, I think, this morning's readings from the Gospel of John. Jesus, the Word made flesh, is the light of men, who shines in the darkness. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth. John was writing at a time that was in many ways dark for the early Jewish and Gentile church. Many of the earliest leaders of the church had been martyred by this time. The current emperor, Domitian, was not especially kind to Christians, and his family had destroyed Jerusalem and the Jewish temple and scattered Jews far and wide throughout the empire. And yet for all this, John taught that light had come into the darkness and shone brightly, just as it did in Maes Howe, precisely at the darkest time of the year. The pictures both from Maes Howe and from the Gospel are fascinating, not only in that ancient pagans built such a thing in Scotland, or that early Christians believed such a thing at such a dark time in history. What is amazing is that these are also inspiring pictures of hope. This picture is inspiring not simply because of the arrival of light being so surprising, but because of the source of the light. The source of the hope, it's not the product of human resolve. Now, John put those things together, the incarnation of the Word and the shining of the light in darkness. The incarnation illuminates and brings hope to a darkened people. In Bethlehem, Christians centuries ago also erected a unique building. They built it in honor of the birth of Jesus, and it is known as the Church of the Nativity. A unique feature of the building and striking familiarity to Maes Howe is its entry. In order for one to walk into the building, one must literally stoop to the height of a child. This simple act has profound symbolic significance, I think, for us Christians. The entry to the Church of the Nativity reminds us that all those who would enter into a relationship with Christ must stoop. We must become, as it were, little children in order to enter in. If we are to be lifted up to have a relationship with God through his Son, Jesus, all of us must first be humbled. We must stoop. But even more importantly, we affirm that Jesus stooped in his incarnation, in his coming to us. We must stoop before God because he stooped to come to us in love. This is almost unimaginable, for it is, as Gerard Manley Hopkins once wrote, This stoop is God's infinity dwindled to an infancy. God's infinity dwindled to an infancy. Every time we hear the comfortable words, and you're going to hear them in a few minutes, we are reminded of this stooping, this descending love from John's gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to the end that all that believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Those are the most outlandish and revolutionary words written in the darkness of the first century Roman Empire. The pagan world had no categories to receive such a phrase. The gods, as they were understood, did not love the world. They used the world. And they were not worshipped for their virtue, their character, or their kindness. Instead, they were placated with blood and sacrifice lest their impetuosity and jealousy break out in discontentment and rage towards humans. Ancient Greco-Roman writers recounted in verse and history the gods' all too human characteristics of greed, lust, pride, self-centeredness, and rapaciousness. Greco-Roman worship played to these base instincts of their gods. Frankly, people in the ancient world would not have any framework to fit the image of a stooping God who illuminates, loves, and lives in the neighborhood with humans. And yet, this is the clear message of the incarnation, of Christmas, of God coming to be with us in the flesh. The early Christians understood in practical terms and suffering experience that if God so loved the world, then so must they. That if God's descent entailed self-donating love, then so must they. That if God descended to live in solidarity with those suffering and living in darkness rather than on a mountaintop fortress, then so must they. And I think so must we. Maybe by now you'll have noticed that I appreciate poetry. I have too many favorite poets to really call anyone my true favorite, but one of my favorites, Malcolm Guite, who I think we should just go ahead and acknowledge as the poet laureate for the Global Anglican Communion right now, offers an illuminating poem that beautifully conveys the heart of John's message of the incarnation, God's love stooping down to us. I mean, you can hear and read many articulations of the mystery of Christ's nativity. Auden, Rossetti, Milton leap to mind, but I think this poem, set beautifully to music by another friend of mine, the Canadian bard Steve Bell, uniquely paints a picture of God's nature and the stoop made by Jesus. It stands in stunning contrast to the poems and ballads describing the first century Roman gods and the godlike assertions of our many leaders in our own day. This contrast between the gods of antiquity and the God of the Nativity has enormous implications for us and for our worship and our day-to-day lives. We have been made in the image of this God, the Son of God, who descended to this mortal plane of ours and took up residence with us in our neighborhood. The poem and song are both just simply titled Descent. And I encourage you, if you have the capabilities in your car, on the drive home, or in some quiet moment this day, to take 2 minutes and 21 seconds to listen to it. You can find it on Steve Bell's album, Pilgrim Year. What I'm encouraging you is put a bing on pause and play a bell instead this morning. I promise you, you won't regret it. Here are the words of the song. They sought to soar into the skies, those classic gods of high renown, for lofty pride aspires to rise, but you came down. You dropped down from the mountain sheer, forsook the eagle for the dove. The other gods demanded fear, but you gave love. Where chiseled marble seemed to freeze their abstract and perfected form, compassion brought you to your knees. Your blood was warm. They called for blood and sacrifice. Their victims on an altar bled. When no one else could pay the price, you died instead. They towered above our mortal plane, dismissed this restless flesh with scorn, aloof from birth and death and pain. But you were born. Born to these burdens, born by all, born with us all astride the grave, weak to be with us when we fall, but strong to save. Friends, as we celebrate the first coming of Christ this morning and anticipate the second advent of our Lord Jesus Christ again, remember and be encouraged by our God who stoops. For, in the words of poet Robert Browning, such ever was love's ways. To rise, it stoops.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.